We do everything we can to protect our physical possessions, which, if damaged, usually can be easily replaced, but many fail to show that same level of concern for their online life and activity, where if one breach takes place, complete recovery, well, might not even be possible. When you assume others will protect you, that's when you fall prey to the trouble out there. With us now to discuss how large and how dangerous this awareness void is, and what steps you can take to strengthen your online security, as a former CIA technical director, served on the Cybersecurity Commission during the Obama administration. He's also author of the book Online Danger, How to Protect Yourself and Your Loved Ones from the Evil Side of the Internet, Dr. Eric Cole. Thanks for being here today, Eric.
It is my pleasure.
And OnlineDanger.com, that's where you learn more about Eric's book Online Danger, How to Protect Yourself and Your Loved Ones from the Evil Side of the Internet. You know, so when it comes to self-protection in cyberspace, how lax, or maybe it might be too harsh to say this, but how cyber illiterate are people?
Very, very high. And the problem is people have a false belief that they're not a target. I hear from people all the time, Eric, I'm not important enough. I don't have a ton of money. I'm not famous. Nobody's going to target me. And that's absolutely the wrong thought process, because the adversaries today are all about numbers. They don't care who you are. It is big business, and these hackers have to steal 10,000 credit cards a month. And if you have weak security or your defenses are down, you're very quickly going to become a victim.
So when we say cyber hacking into personal lives, people always think Social Security number. Is that the one and only? Is it credit cards? What is the most valuable of your cyber possessions?
Most valuable of your cyber possessions first would be credit cards, just because they're very easy, very fraudulent activity associated with that. Second is bank account information. We're seeing a lot of these adversaries doing small wire transfers. They know the laws, and they know that if they stay below $1,000, that they can do a virtual approval, and it doesn't have to go through the normal signatory process. So they take advantage of that. And then finally, any personal information. It doesn't have to be Social Security numbers. Sometimes even phone numbers, home addresses, anything that they can use to be able to spoof or take over your identity, they're going to be going after.
So one little crumb can get you the whole loaf of bread.
Exactly.
When you think, too, that people think of a cyber breach, as you said, well, I'm not that important. Do they also make the mistake, well, when a cyber breach happens at a bank, they're thinking maybe at worst it might be in the thousands, tens of thousands, but the cyber breaches can total in the millions, tens of millions, or the recent Equifax breach, over 100 million.
Exactly, and we tend to focus on those bigger ones that make the news, like Equifax and others, where, depending on the numbers, almost 60% of all Americans have had their identity stolen, yet most people don't really understand the repercussions of that. But also, these smaller hacks that are happening all the time, you can use your credit card at a local restaurant. Their systems can get hacked. They never know about it. You never know about it. And now your credit card is in the hands of the adversary.
So there are all these back doors that the hackers can get to you through.
Exactly. And the other big mistake that people make is they assume that technology and these companies are secure by default. Like when people buy a new iPhone or they buy a Windows computer or they set up an account with an e-merchant, they think, oh, there has to be proper security. And unfortunately, in most cases, there's minimal to no security by default.
So it's really the onus is upon you to do the self-protection. Like I said in the introduction, you put an alarm system around your house when you have your valuable children, valuable possessions. But those same people who do that, as a recent Harris poll showed, for example, only 25% of people use credit monitoring and even fewer use ID monitoring, even though I mentioned the Equifax breach and the ones that are significantly smaller, but that doesn't really console the person who gets trapped in from those as well. That's got to be the frustrating part, is you as an expert observer with all the tools that are out there. Like when you buy a laptop or an iPhone, the security systems are there. People just never engage them.
Exactly. And ultimately, It comes down to your behavior. The analogy I give is you can buy the safest car on the planet. This car can have more security features than any other car. But if you're a reckless driver and you drive at 80 miles an hour into a tree, you could still get very hurt and die in that very safe car. And that's the same thing we have today. People are downloading endpoint security, antivirus, and they have a safe computer. But if they're a reckless, careless driver, they can still get themselves into a lot of trouble.
So Dr. Eric Cole, who is a cybersecurity expert, he served on the Cybersecurity Commission during the Obama administration. He's also author of the book Online Danger, How to Protect Yourself and Your Loved Ones from the Evil Side of the Internet, onlinedanger.com. Website where you can get Eric's book and find out more about this and the issue that we're discussing here on Issues and Ideas. When your cyber stuff is hacked, is it always something you're going to know quickly, or is it a landmine that you're going to step on further down the line?
Typically, it's something further down the line. Most people, when their information, especially credit card data, is hacked and stolen, they often don't detect it for 6 to 9 months, and there's two reasons for that. One is adversaries don't always act on the information immediately. They store it and broker it and sell it to other hackers. And the second thing is most people don't notice it. Like when you get your credit card bill, most people skim it and go, oh, if there's a $5,000 or $10,000 fraudulent charge, they would notice. What they don't realize is many of these hackers do $5 or $10 charges. They do very small charges, hoping that they'll slip under the radar, and very often people don't catch that for several months.
So time is on the bad guy's side in that instance.
Exactly.
So what are some of the easiest, quick, I mean, we mentioned before about how electronic devices come with everything already installed, and you can even set things for auto-update, so it's really a hands-free operation. You just have to remember to turn the damn stuff on. But past that point, as far as what are some of the basic things that most people aren't doing that they could very quickly, very easily, and even inexpensively do?
Couple quick things. First, today's adversary, when they target you, they're going to send a legitimate-looking email. It's going to come from a colleague, a sibling, a boss. It's going to look legit, and it's going to have an attachment or an embedded link. And as soon as you click or open that, you're going to get compromised. One click is all it takes. So first, be very careful of your email activity. When you get an email, before you open an attachment or click on a link, be 100% sure. Think before you click, because one little mistake can cause hundreds of hours of nightmares. Second, on your mobile devices, get rid of all the extra apps you're not using. Many people I know have hundreds of apps on their phone. They're not using most of them, and the ones they're not using are actually spying on them. They have access to their email, their pictures, their camera. So getting rid of the things you're not using and cleaning up your system also goes a long way to minimize impact. And then the third is be observant. Look for any unusual activity. If you're all of a sudden getting texts that don't make sense, check your credit card bill if there's expenses that don't seem legit. Be very observant. Recognize you're going to be a target and respond quickly.
Just some of the stats, and if you see yourself in any of these stats, then you should take Eric's advice very closely. Only 25% of people have used credit monitoring. Fewer use identity monitoring. 32% of those have heard any news stories on security breaches in the past 12 months have reduced their public Wi-Fi or unknown hotspots as a result. Only 25% have implemented two-factor authentication on their devices to protect their personal info. That's over the past 12 months. But if that is you, then, well, I can highly recommend Eric's book because it will provide you with the knowledge and information and the way to prevent the stuff to happen. Because once you get cyber hacked and your identity and identity theft takes place, it might sound like a simple cure, but it's going to take a lot to prove who you are, strangely enough, and get things as repaired as possible. Because after the fact, even a full repair might not even be possible. Eric's book, again, is Online Danger, How to Protect Yourself and Your Loved Ones from the Evil Side of the Internet. OnlineDanger.com. That's where you can find more about the book and, more importantly, get the book and add it to your wisdom and your knowledge for day-to-day online activity. Dr. Eric Cole, thanks for being here today.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.